So I know what you're thinking. I'm not like those people. But yes, we are, right? This is Gru. This is us. We are these people. And why? Because we all have the same sin problem. We all have the same sin nature that creates this in all of us. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So let's continue reading from Paul's words from Romans 7. All right. So number two, if you're doing your fill-ins, is do I delight in God's law? So it gives us a little bit of a solution here, right? Do I delight in God's law? So verses 21 through 23. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Later in Romans, Paul describes being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right? We need this. We need to be renewed. Right? Our minds need to be renewed in order to delight in God's law, in order to fight this sin nature that we have. So here's Paul's warning in Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Right? Who would choose death over life and peace? Well, nobody theoretically would, except most of us do it pretty regularly, right? We don't allow God to transform us, to renew our minds. We fall to our sin nature, and then by doing that, we choose death over life and peace. So I'm not suggesting that it's easy. However, we definitely make things more complicated than it needs to be. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night." So here's another key for us. Meditate on his law day and night. Right? So this concept makes sense. Things that are good, think of something that is good, a relationship, even just an activity, like things that are good. When you do them, the more you do them, the more you want to do them, right? So a good relationship that you have, the more time you spend with that person, the more time you want to spend with that person. The more time you do things that you enjoy, the more you want to do them. This is the verse 2. Meditates on his law day and night. When we spend more time with God, when we meditate on his laws, when we meditate on his truths and promises, then we recognize that they're good. Right? The psalmist said to taste and see that the Lord is good. This is why. So we're going to get to, so if you're looking at your notes, David is number two. So we're going to get to David in a little bit when we're done with Paul. But he was somewhat of an expert at delighting in the word, in the word, in the truth, in the light, in the Lord, right? He delighted in God. So David's experience is going to help us see how we can do this better. All right, but let's finish with Paul first. Number three, everyone needs to be rescued. So have you ever been in some kind of like scary experience that you had no control over? I'm going to give you an example. When I was in college, a group of us went to D.C. for the day, and on the way back in the evening, we were coming down Route 29 to Charlottesville, and I'm sitting in the back, not really paying attention, and the next thing I know, the car is just spinning, right? We had hit some water and hydroplaned or something, but, I mean, that's a scary, scary feeling, even if you were the one driving, but I'm just sitting in the back, had no idea what was coming, I had no idea if we're about to hit something, I was completely clueless, I thought we were going to die, right? So, everybody has a spiritual instance like that, right? We need to be rescued. And you actually have, you had nothing to do with what allowed you to be rescued, right? Only God allowed you to be rescued. And you just have to choose it. Because if I, in the back of that car, if I could choose for us to just be safe, right, that would have been awesome. But I couldn't do it. But as far as being spiritually rescued, I can just choose, right? I'm spinning out of control, and I can choose to be rescued, right? Everyone needs that. Eternity is on the line. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Right? So Paul recognizes that Jesus is the one who saves him, but he still has this struggle. He still has this struggle with his sinful nature. So Jesus not only paid the price for our sinful nature so that we could spend eternity in heaven, but he also provides a rescue for us in the day today, right? He described how his departure was necessary and good because that would allow for the third member of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come and to empower his followers. John 16, verses 8 through 13. When he comes, so this is Jesus speaking, talking about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit, God's given us the Holy Spirit to help us fight this sinful nature, right? He would never leave us alone. He loves us too much to allow that, right? He wants to change us from the inside out, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us do that. All right, so let's move on to David and see how David can help us in this battle with our sinful nature. So just in summary, a reminder of who we're talking about here. So King David was chosen by God because of his heart for the Lord. And he becomes the greatest king of all of Israel. Right. And he's in the line. He's in the line of Jesus. He delights in the Lord. He writes a lot of the Psalms. So he becomes, so God says he's the one person, the only person that ever said this about, right? A man after my own heart, right? So this is King David that we're talking about. But you might remember that David had his own "I do what I do not want to do" moments. The most infamous one is him lusting after his friend's wife, then plotting to have his friend killed to cover it up so that he couldn't be found out, and then like following through with that. And so, but he couldn't hide that from God. Obviously, he's attempting to hide it from people, but of course he can't hide it from God. As a result of that, there were consequences that had to be paid, and David lost a son because of it. Then I want you to listen to this psalm that David wrote as a result of those actions. I purposely didn't use any fill-ins in this section under David, because I'm going to read from two of his psalms, and they're a little bit lengthy. But instead of, I actually had outlined some interesting thoughts about these psalms, but I decided it would be better to let you create your own fill-ins as a result of this, because, right, the Holy Spirit will work in each of us differently. So as we're reading these psalms, I want you to think about what God would have you to do as a result of these things, right? So there are a lot of helpful tips here from David about how we can delight in the Lord. And they're going to apply to each of us differently. So as we're reading them, I want you to just maybe pray that, right, God would show you how these things can transform you, right? How these things can help you delight in the Lord, how they can help you fight this sinful nature that we have, how they can help you not do the things that you don't want to do. All right, so we're going to start with Psalm 51. I'm going to read the whole thing, verses 1 through 19. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver from me the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So, man, there's so many things there we could talk about. You can do a whole sermon series just on this. But I just want you to, just for a moment, to contemplate, right, these words of David that he poured out to God, recognizing his sin and how he needed God to help him. Right, we have this sinful nature that we need to confront. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about superheroes, and it's a lot more fun to think about how we're more related to superheroes than it is to think about how we're related to Despicable Gru. But if we want to be unlikely heroes, right, we have to confront this sinful nature that we have. So I'm going to do the same thing with Psalm 37. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just excerpts, but I'm going to read verses 3 through 9 and then 23 through 40. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. But the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen. This is the Lord that we serve. He was willing to do everything, all that it takes, so that we did not have to succumb to our sin nature. Right? Not just so that we could be in heaven with him, but so that we could live for him every day. If we want to be unlikely heroes, right? If we want to serve on God's team like we've been talking about at VBS in the last few weeks, right? His superheroes, then we have to confront this sin nature, right? And it's not, you're not the only one, right? Even Paul said, I do what I do not want to do. But God's Holy Spirit wants to help you, right? And all we have to do is allow him access to our heart. That's all we have to do, right? I recognize the difficulty in that sometimes. But again, we make it complicated, right? God's way is not complicated. It can sometimes be hard, but he walks through that with us. But it's not complicated, right? He loves us too much for us to stay the same. He wants to transform us continuously. And he wants to help us so that we don't have to do what we don't want to do. All right, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that these divinely inspired words of David would penetrate our hearts. Lord, will you use your words to help us to delight in you? May we delight in your truth, in your promises, in you and you alone, Lord. Help us count ourselves dead to sin so that we can live for you. Lord, may we depend on you instead of ourselves and instead of the world around us. Help us to find satisfaction and contentment in Jesus instead of the things of the world. May we find true delight in you so we can take our sights off what we want and instead long for what you desire. Lord, help us to be unlikely heroes that follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.